Hi there and welcome to episode 155, got the number right, of the ADHD Adults Podcast. I'm James Brown, the man who gets his nutrition in the form of neck claret. And I'm joined by Dr. Alex Connor, the man who deliberately tells me about his cookery just to annoy me. And the woman who would eat the same thing for every meal, every day, if she could, Mrs. ADHD. Alex, hi.
Turmeric, turmeric, for all your ADHD needs. Turmeric, yours, ADHD. Why not eat 2 kilograms of powdered turmeric today?
Because you'd die. Oh yeah, no. Why don't you try it, Al?
You would die. Yeah, it's terrible advice.
Yes. And how are you both, Sam, Mrs. ADHD? First, I'm not sure what happened there.
I'm all right. Oh, since last time, really.
Okay, that was just super. No. Alex?
I'm excellent, thank you, James. Hello, Sam. Numbers intern's got in touch again. Tells me that the number Google is named after a Googleplex, which is 10 to the power Google, which is itself a massive number. And that number is how many times James has texted us about listener metrics. And I still don't know what the word metrics means. One of those metrics has sent us a letter, James.
9.
They have. I'm just going to check who it's from. It's from a Robert from Kidderminster, James. It says, and I can't do that letter, so I'm going to have to do the other one. It says, did you know that James is metrosexual, by which I mean he's turned on by the metro because he remembers the first one being built in 1863 because he's Dracula. He goes on to write, helpfully, he's old and he's a Dracula, you see. Thanks, Robert.
Good explainer.
We've had a real letter. Can I read it out?
Yes.
Well, you will.
We haven't asked if we can use their name, so sorry about that. But it begins with a J. No, we can't use it. The letter says, you will absolutely hate this, so I will begin. Oh, that's a great way to start a letter. Threatening. I've realised that one of the reasons the podcast is so addictive is that each of the three of you have, in my opinion, uniquely attractive and strangely sexy attributes. Ellipsis. Sam, your biceps. Alex, the way your brain works. James, your laugh. 3 hearts. This was from our Buy Me a Coffee site. We need to check. Let us know if we can use it. I'll say it next week. Wow. Mine. You two are physical and mine's a personality thing.
Wow.
Laugh. It's an ADHD word.
A laugh is physical.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Yes.
Okay.
It's very out of sync, but you're saying the London Underground's a metro, are you?
It is a metro.
for the purpose of a really weak joke.
really shit joke. It's because I couldn't do the one about Robert Kidderminster in heaven because it was too offensive. Right, as usual, Tarquin, the metrics intern, whilst playing croquet in his massive garden with Sam's rich dad, has given me some information about another city we have listeners in. Leeds, in Yorkshire, where about 1% of our listeners are. According to Tarquin sources, legend has it that Leeds is home to an invisible castle, said to be located right in the city centre, but it's only visible to those who have eaten Yorkshire pudding that day. That's just a fact.
Facts.
Basic fact.
Facts.
Ridiculous.
Just angry.
As usual, this Cosby sweater of a podcast is a tragedy in 3 parts. We start off with, apologies, I got distracted there. We choose a theme. Last time around was, I'm just throwing because nobody's asked about a Cosby sweater.
Google it.
Okay. We choose a theme. Last time around was about ADHD and sexuality. And this week we're going to be discussing ADHD and nutrition. Thanks to Megan and Chris Jenkins, who asked for a topic like this to be covered. 3 parts include the Dr. Oz of evidence, Alex the Psycho Education Monkey.
Hello,
who will talking about some of the evidence about nutrition, our personal reflections on nutrition, definitely not what the word it says in the script is, and then finally Gabby Logan's Spunk Trumpet Just Tipping. So Alex, obviously, as I've already hinted, I get most of my nutrition via the local blood bank. But I'm not human. Tell us about ADHD and nutrition.
And I bet I know which type of blood you like because you always be negative.
Oh, God.
I would have read that as Dr. Ounce, by the way, genuinely. I don't know what Dr. Oz is.
Again,
then.
Google it.
I'm literally going to have to Google Cosby Sweater and Dr. Oz, aren't I? Yeah. Right. Nutrition. This is going to be a bit of a controversial one, I suspect, because we get letters a lot. Nutrition is the process by obviously living organisms receive and utilize the nutrients they need to grow and to maintain their health and to reproduce and carry out their bodily functions. James, most humans still have bodily functions.
Yes, yes.
There are broadly two classes of nutrients, big'uns and little'uns, macronutrients, micronutrients. Big'uns, macronutrients, are the ones that the body requires in large amounts. They're not physically big, as I thought they were, even during my biology degree. They are, that is not a joke, they are the primary source of energy, and we measure that in calories typically, and they're essential for growth, metabolism, general bodily, getting shit done, literally in some cases. And there are three types of big'uns, macronutrients. You know this, it's carbs, fats, and proteins. It's sugars, proteins, and fat, that's what it is. Carbs tend to be the body's main source of energy, especially the brain. Proteins, we can use for energy as well, but crucial for growth, tissue repair, immune function, and the preservation of the lean muscle mass like I have underneath. Underneath the third macronutrient, fat, which are a really useful, super important, dense source of energy. We die without fat. You can't have none. Important for lots of bodily functions as well, including the absorption of vitamins and the protection of our organs and warmth. And they also play a really big role in producing and sending out hormones.
I could have done that a bit better. In fact, actually anyone could have done that a bit better.
Hush, James. What do you know about this? Honestly, can you just go? I'm a scientist to talk. So this is literally James's professional Professor Brownfield, and I'm reading it out. And then he's going to get letters again, isn't he, going, why do you know Alex? Right. James, just shush. Oh, no.
Yeah,
the other type of nutrient. It almost frightens me doing this, in case you beat me up. The other type of nutrient, micronutrients, little ones, are the ones we require in little amounts, but they are nonetheless absolutely essential for healthy living. Vitamins and minerals and those sorts of things that play this role in supporting metabolism, keeping your bones healthy and your fluids all balanced and lots of other processes. Micronutrients don't provide us with energy, unlike the big ones. Vitamins required for almost every biochemical process, and each one has lots of specific roles, helping us create the energy but not being the energy, maintaining skin health, cell damage, everything really. And the minerals, the kind of, you know, metals and things like that, like calcium and magnesium and sodium and other elements, are inorganic. They're not the carbon-based stuff that is most of us, but we need those in either high amounts like chloride and sodium, potassium, or in tiny, tiny little trace amounts like zinc and copper for bone health and fluid balance. For James, for blood, as you well know, your favorite topic, muscle function, amongst many, many, many other things.
And should we be taking vitamins and minerals as well as eating all the things?
Definitely not James. He gets all the iron he needs from the necks of his virgins in Kidderminster. So if you have a deficiency, yes, the vast... I know that's fair, I think, James, isn't it? The vast majority of us do not need to take supplements. A balanced diet, a relatively balanced diet, and we are omnivores, a relatively balanced diet usually provides the body with adequate micro and adequate macronutrients. The body doesn't produce these on its own, so we do have to eat. That's why we eat, to get them. If you have a deficiency, a natural imbalance, or you're pregnant, or a few other things, you need supplements, but it's under medical care. Just taking vitamins off the shelf and for no reason at all is not required. So if you do have an imbalance, too much, too little, that can cause health problems, but it's quite extreme. if you have too little calcium, for children this is, it can weaken your bones, while too much fat can increase the risk of heart disease and have problems with your muscles and your joints and everything. So a varied and balanced diet is key to maintaining good health.
Isn't the diet in the UK pretty shit, though?
Do you actually think that?
I just read it. I haven't thought about it.
Oh, James, what do you reckon we could get her to read?
Anything, pretty much anything. In fact, that's a good idea to put that's a complete non sequitur in there to see if she can spot
it. It's a really offensive question, Sam. Thanks for asking it. Actually, it is a bit of shit. So from a health perspective, we do eat too much sugar and saturated fat, and saturated fat is linked to poor health. The actual nature of that link is really, really tricky because it could be cultural. We don't eat enough fruit and vegetables and fiber and those things. Despite this, that, in inverted commas, poor diet, actually, we don't have common deficiencies in the UK with a couple of little exceptions. So vitamin B9 or folic acid, you might have heard of, and vitamin D, which might be an effect of lacking in sunlight and other cultural issues. Some groups, like different smaller groups within the UK, might be more likely to have micronutrient deficiencies, such as vitamin B12 in older adults, for example. But generally, most people get all the nutrients and vitamins they need from our shockingly poor diet. In general, if you are buying vitamins, you are buying expensive urine. The studies which look into nutritional epidemiology, these are notorious. What's a better word than bad? I want to not upset people. Are differently good.
Yes.
They're differently goodly designed. So they're often based on food diaries, and everybody knows we all lie in food diaries, including me. They lack an intervention. They lack a thing that they're measuring. So make some people take a nutrient, but control everything else. Very, very difficult to do. So add a placebo and they don't know what's going on. These blind tests are not done usually. Often it's very hard to get high quality evidence in medium to large populations at all.
What about phytochemicals, he asks knowingly.
You can't just make up words, James. I guess we could include them. Just for the other people who don't know what that is, what does that mean?
Plant chemicals.
Yes, plants contain millions of different chemicals. And remember, all meat-eating animals are actually there because of animals that eat plants or themselves eating plants, omnivores and carnivores. Plants are the main food source made by the sun and the soil. Plants are vital for life and health. Many plant chemicals, what James is calling are known to have health benefits. But phytochemicals are not vitamins or minerals. Phytoestrogen, for example, you might have heard of estrogen. It's one of the hormones that animals produce, most animals. Phytoestrogens might be useful where natural estrogen in people is low. Tofu is the Wokarati's favourite food, according to racists on the internet. Tofu is a good source of phytoestrogens, and there is burgeoning evidence, reasonable evidence actually, that phytoestrogens could protect us from high cholesterol and help a little bit with heart function.
Yes, I used to be researching those things. Sir, what about ADHD, sir? Sir?
Well, James, as you probably didn't know, with little Birmingham not knowing anything about nutrition, I can't do that. It hurts me to say it. Lifestyle factors, including nutrition, have been proposed by loads of people to be involved in how ADHD develops and how we manage our ADHD. I just realized that was a scientist thing to say. What we definitely know that if nutritional deprivation as a child or in the womb, that is required for healthy brain development, good nutrition. We know that and how the brain functions. ADHD in adults likely impacts how the person living with ADHD is able to interact with their food environment. which means how you choose food, how you're able to buy food and access food, and even how you're able to eat it with sensory issues and cultural issues. So how and what we eat does impact our physical and mental health, whether you have ADHD or not. Can you see how I'm going a bit around the houses here? Because it's a really difficult question to answer. A problem with executive function, a lot of us have, you don't have to, and the inability to choose what to focus on can lead to reduced interest in preparing foods, overlooking details of healthy eating. And that's not a food issue in general. It's about the ADHD, meaning we could eat less healthily. And so preparing appropriate nutritional meals can be a problem. We are made increasingly aware that many of the quick and easy options might have too many things in that can cause health problems. We disagree sometimes, don't we, James, on the details. I worry about the term ultra-processed because we are omnivores. Mm-hmm. I know that you think there's some evidence, strong evidence, that ultra-processed food might not be helpful. I think it's more about the contents of the micronutrients themselves, which you can also find in salty bread, you know, or like caveman food. But we do tend to buy beige foods because they're easier to buy, easier to make. And if you've got sensory issues, I find them a lot safer. So it's a tricky one.
It is. What about all this, what about all the tosh you hear about, you know, nutrients curing ADHD? If you just take magnesium, that'll cure your ADHD.
Yeah, apart from turmeric, absolutely. Turmeric cures every aspect of ADHD if you're an imaginary rat. So have you ever been on the internet, either of you? It's great. There are, you can find hundreds of nutrients that have been proposing, you know, hundreds of thousands of likes of posts proposed to be helpful in the treatment of ADHD. Vitamins and minerals and polyunsaturated fatty acids, puffers, I like the expression. There isn't any clear evidence for any of them. Not really. The puffers, the polyunsaturated fatty acids, and we're always told, oh, you've got to eat these polyunsaturated fatty acids. The evidence is so mixed that there is little support for omega-3 and any core symptoms of ADHD. I mean, tiny bits, and you could send me a paper, and people do, don't they, James? They send you papers all the time. What about this one paper? And then when you look at it, it doesn't agree with any of the others. It's shitly done. Some studies have looked at reduced blood levels of various minerals, magnesium, iron, zinc, in children with inattentive ADHD. There might be a link with if you have low iron, it could exacerbate your ADHD symptoms, but it isn't curing it. It isn't. That's not what it is. If you haven't got a deficiency, there isn't any evidence to support the use of these things. Evidence from recent research doesn't allow any recommendations regarding the use of any micronutrients or probiotics in the management of ADHD. Brutal, but true.
Some people talk about cutting out sugar as a treatment. Does this work?
It's an excellent question, Sam. We hear it a lot. I get asked this almost daily. I'm guessing you do too. Elimination diets where you take one thing out of your diet. Remember, we're omnivores. We're like that, the car at the end of Back to the Future. We really, really are good at taking food and making human from it. Some research indicate that elimination diets might benefit a small number of individuals with some aspects of ADHD, but they're not, again, very poor research and it's not generalizable. Take sugars out or artificial colorings or preservatives, allergens if people have them. But it's such mixed and weak evidence. If you're going to eliminate something from your diet, it can do you a lot more harm than good in general. And please do it with your doctor. Ding. Whilst nutrition can play a role in managing ADHD symptoms in the individual, dietary changes are part of a treatment plan. They really are. Nutritional supplements can build up in your body. They can stop the ADHD meds from working. They can be unhealthy for you. And most people don't have a deficiency. If you do, it's a medical issue. Individual responses to dietary interventions vary wildly for the individual. And that's the other thing to say. If you found something that works healthy for you and you're under medical advice, then you're someone for whom that works. It doesn't mean we should be giving that advice to everybody. It doesn't work like that. So healthcare professionals, dietitians who are evidence-based, please consider talking to somebody who is really evidence-based before making any big changes to your diet. Sugar is not evil.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. No nutrient is good or bad. It's amounts of nutrients that can be good or bad. Yeah. Right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with our personal reflections in part two. See you in a bit.
Bye.
No.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up? Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to episode 155 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we are talking about ADHD and nutrition. James, tell us about your diet.
Well, it's fucking shocking, isn't it? Let's be honest, and it always has been. I didn't realise, when I was young, my mum always used to say, oh, he's a picky eater. Mm-hmm. And she would have to, for example, mash carrot in with my mashed potatoes, obviously making it orange to try and get vegetables in me. And I would, every Sunday at lunch, say, you put carrot in that? And she'd say, no, I haven't eaten it. And I wouldn't eat it. What I've since realized many years later is that a lot of my food choices are based around a sensory processing issue with texture. And this is quite common. And it's so hard to define. But if something is crunchy but not sweet and comes with, you know, kind of bits and seeds, I can't have it. So fresh vegetables, al dente vegetables, the texture, absolutely, I just can't do it. The best example for this, I think, is onions. I love the taste of onion. I love the smell of onion. There is no way you can prepare an onion, whether cooked or uncooked, in which I will eat and enjoy it, because the texture is either crunchy or slimy, and it sets my whole body on edge. It's the same with fruit. Now, I can blend up a mixture of fruits and have a smoothie if I kind of sieve out the bits. And I love the flavor. I love the flavor of some vegetables, but it's the texture. And that's one of the reasons my diet is shocking. And it is beige all round because of a different issue, which is I go and do the shopping because I can't let Sam, because if Sam does the shopping, she'll spend £200. And I'm not joking, come back with no food. She'll just buy all the sparkly things in the shop. So I do the shopping every week. And it's just, I can't imagine. I've never been somebody who really prepares food. I think I once made Sam like a steak when she was a meat eater for Valentine's Day. I don't cook meals because even as a scientist, I was not very good at following instructions to do science, let alone to do cookery. And if you look at all of the planning, got to go out and buy all these ingredients. They may not all be in one shop. And then you've got to keep them and remember them. They don't go out of date. And then you've got to follow this recipe and it takes an hour or half an hour to do it. It's just, for me, it's always been chuck something in the oven, now the air fryer, which you know you can tolerate. And food is very much a functional thing. So I would happily eat just kind of all bran for every meal, because it's not something I take a lot of pleasure from. There's a surprise for somebody who's anhedonic. It's just, unless it's the really sweet and fatty stuff.
But that would be an elimination diet, wouldn't it? So it wouldn't be healthy. Is that?
No, not at all. It'd be terrible. So the only way I can get healthy stuff into my body, ding, is it's got to be pureed or cooked until it's complete mush. So I'm kind of like this mad combination of a toddler and a 90-year-old where anything that's, you know, got the flavor and the texture that most people enjoy, not fucking happening. I just finally, the vitamin and mineral thing, I've always found that fascinating. I used to work a bit in the vitamin D field. And it again, this is something about how bad science can be. There are papers that just tell you vitamin D cures everything, prevents everything, is effective in everything. And then there are probably better papers that have identified that, yes, particularly in the UK, it is recommended that everybody takes vitamin D in the wintertime because we don't get enough sunlight, and sunlight activates one of the precursors for vitamin D. But most of the other stuff, even with our crap diet, most, you know, the A, B, you know, C, E, K, etc., most of those things we do get from a crap diet. And as Alex said, if they're water-soluble vitamins, you just piss them out. You're just paying for something your body's going to excrete because you've got an excess of it. The, specifically to ADHD, last point. Before I knew I had ADHD, and I'd done a television program called Old People's Home for four-year-olds, 7C's got in touch and said we wanted to do a report on cod liver oil, and not a full-on kind of systematic review, but look at all the evidence and tell us where there's strong evidence that it helps stuff. Now, I hadn't got a diagnosis. You and I had talked about ADHD, and I kind of thought, well, I might have it. And that was where there was most research for cod liver oil, which has both polyunsaturated fatty acids and vitamin D in it. And it was fascinating. The evidence was just all over the place. Like, big studies, benefits children, big studies, has no effect on children, smaller studies, benefits inattentive children, again, smaller studies, has no effect. It's insane. Now, a lot of those were food diaries. So you fill in a food diary for a day, maybe 3 days at the most, in which you probably are going to lie or forget, if you've got ADHD, how much you ate and what you ate. And then that is nutritionally analyzed rather than, and sometimes they might take a blood sample if you're lucky, if it's a biobank study. And then from that, they'll follow you up for 5 years and work out if something happens. And it's just, it's a terrible way of doing science. And it just fascinated me that kind of, it's out there that yes, your children should take, you know, cod liver oil or fish oils because it will help with ADHD. We don't know that.
It's such a good example that your own example, James. If you did a food diary, and because of your sensory issues and your ADHD and the preparation, it would look like you were eating foods that they would then say cause ADHD, but you're eating them because of ADHD. In science, we call this concept wet pavement causes rain. Mm. And if you just say, oh, look outside, the wet pavement, oh, then the rain comes. It's every time. And it's how the Daily Mail and the Telegraph make their money, is by getting the causation the wrong way around. It pisses us off.
Yeah. As you're speaking, Al, do you want to segue into your personal reflections?
Yeah, same really. I do love food. I have lots of food allergies, which is really fucking annoying. For somebody that loves cooking and loves food, it's a real problem for me. I can't eat onions and fresh fruit, and I have a thing called beech pollen tree allergy, and if you Google it, it's really quite frustrating. And I'm lactose intolerant, but apparently my impulsive nature doesn't care about that, and so I pay for that on the weekly. I get a lot of flack. So for me and my eating, personal eating habits, I've always been ashamed of my food pickiness, as I've always, same as you, always found it really embarrassing. And I always go for the same things and the safety, and I don't measure risk, of course. And it's always been embarrassing. And then I love cooking, but it was connected to alcohol. And now it's taken me, I reckon, more than a year to like cooking sober. And that's a really tricky problem. I have noticed that I'm more able to take risks without alcohol than with it, which is weird. But that was an issue. I get so much flack for talking about nutrition and ADHD because I'm a little bit militant about the fact that we are omnivorous creatures. Fats, proteins, carbohydrates, or sugars, same word. We get energy from them by breaking them down into broadly similar Lego bricks, like the little unit we break all of that food down to is then what we build up to make fat. There's exceptions to that. And so if you eat fat, that isn't the fat that becomes the fat around your body. That's not how it works. And so the reason that people always tell me, oh, well, sugar goes to your brain and has these effects just like ADHD, all of that isn't really right. Sugar is slightly problematic because it makes us feel hungry. And the reason for that is because when we were evolutionarily, if we came across a honey, some beehive, it would make sense for us to keep eating sugar while we could. But if we slaughtered an oxen, then we know we've got food for a few weeks. So it doesn't make sense for a bit of meat to make us hungry. And it's more about that than any kind of this addictive thing we see online. I know some people can get addicted to sugar. I'm not saying that's wrong. So in general, we're pretty omnivorous. If you are a pregnant person or you're ill or athletes, people with food disorders, it's different. But for most people, we're pretty omnivorous, and eating healthily is a broad church. That's all I want to say. Sam, what about you? What are your personal issues with food?
I think I'm more sensory seeking with food. I like mixes of textures, and it brings me lots of pleasure. Having said that, I generally eat the same thing for every meal every day, just because choice is difficult for me to make. So it's just easier if I know I'm just eating the same thing all the time. And it's generally just easy. It's something that I can just whack in the air fryer for 10 minutes and just eat. I'm vegan. But I'm not deficient in anything, because I've recently had some blood tests to check if I was, because I went to...
Did you just laugh at that, Jane?
But yeah, I did. I'm not deficient in anything. I'm sorry, Sam. No, but there is. Listen, there's something important in that, because she went to the doctor effectively describing burnout, and of course, when they found out she was a vegan, they went, right, let's check her blood. Let's check her blood, because it's going to be B12.
Yeah.
Can't possibly have burnout.
Yeah. So all the things, despite eating the same meal every day, but I eat lots of fruit. I love fruit. I'm vegan, obviously, so everything I eat basically is a vegetable, whether it's even though it's massively processed, a lot of it.
Your own chef, and you didn't have to decide what to have, would you eat loads of different things all the time?
I'd still have to decide, though, wouldn't I?
No, if they just brought you different dishes, would you like it?
I think what he's saying is, if you took the exact kind of, she does like, so for example, Sam will go to a restaurant like Wilderness and have a taster menu where there's 12 courses and it's all time.
Yeah,
that's fine. I'd hate that, hell, would you, James?
Hell for me.
I love it. Yeah. I don't have to choose any of it. They just bring it all to me and I just eat it all. Yes. So yes.
So that's the executive function ADHD and autism thing.
Yeah, you're because right. I would love that.
That's hell to me, in case there's mushy peas or some shit or whatever.
I'm really good, actually. I will eat. And before I became vegan, I would just eat anything. I'm not very fussy about food at all.
I'm sorry, but if anybody that's heard the Choose Life Sessions remix of Sam, blancmange and porridge, which apparently can get in the fucking sea. There are, again, some textures for you which you absolutely cannot engage in.
That's true. I don't like gelatinous things that aren't jelly. I don't like things that are like fucking glue. Porridge is just glue. Rice pudding. I hate all of those things. Actually, there are quite a few things that I don't like. But mostly, I'll give anything a bash.
Ding.
I eat the same thing for every meal, and it'll be a food that I absolutely love until halfway through eating it, I hate it. And then
never James again.
Has to find me something else to eat. And I don't know what, so that in between stage is fucking horrendous.
Let's clarify that for the listener, dear listener. What happens is that Sam will immediately go off something, but then not tell me. And then what happens is, for the next 3 to 4 weeks, I'll buy the stuff that for the last year I've bought, and then we'll just notice that it starts to build up. And then I'll say, you're not eating this. Oh, no, can't go and eat that anymore.
What happens is, I think I must tell him, but I won't tell him now because he's just been shopping and I don't want him to think, oh, brilliant, I bought all that. So I wait until just before he goes shopping, but then I forget again and he brings more stuff. And I think, well, I can't tell him now because he's just been shopping. And then he goes, are you not eating this? Yeah. My safe food is cereal. And if I'm in a bad place, I just eat cereal for every single meal.
Yeah.
Because that's my safe food. Sorry,
not very good for balance. Yeah, it's not balanced, is it? That's the issue.
No, it's really not.
There's
sorry, James.
Yeah.
My wife will eat anything. It's weird. Mm. Like, she doesn't even care if it's heated up or, like, you know, when you've, like, put it in the microwave, it's lukewarm and there's cold bits in the middle. Mm. Just eat that. Not bothered. And whatever it is, whatever you give her, it's weird.
I am jealous of Sam's ability to eat so many things that are healthy and nutritious. I just wanted to add, because I didn't before, and this is important. I am such a people pleaser that there have been 4 or 5 occasions where I have felt that I had to eat all of the stuff that I hate. So over in, I visited Israel for a conference and had to eat this cold white soup with chives in it. And I was retching with every mouthful. I used to collaborate with somebody in Seville who said, I will take you to one of the proper tapas restaurants where they had tomatoes as big as the larger of my testicles, which is massive. And they were these fresh and juicy tomatoes. They're the worst thing, tomatoes, because the jelly and the pips.
I hate them like
and
apples,
I would just
James,
sit there biting them and, gagging.
Would
and
you
retching.
Do it now? Now you're unmasked.
Yeah, absolutely.
He would, yeah.
Yeah.
And I went on the trip with him and said, James doesn't eat any of this. And they were he does.
This was in, I think it was Singapore or Hong Kong. It was a sashimi restaurant. So they were bringing out, you know, raw tuna and raw salmon. And I didn't say anything. And again, I was, apologies if this makes anyone gag, but as I was swallowing it, I was throwing up in my mouth and then having to swallow it rather than say, I'm sorry, I don't like this. And eventually I was so pissed on this plum wine they had because I had to just get hammered to not care as much. And then eventually someone said, well, you haven't eaten much. And Sam said, oh, yeah, no, he doesn't actually like any of this food.
He doesn't like fish at all.
So the host called the chef out, had a right go at him, and then they brought out 3 or 4 massive platters of cooked meat. So after...
Well, of course, that was always an option.
Apparently, yeah.
If he just said...
Yeah. Obviously. I know, but I'm such a people pleaser when it comes to that I'll eat or drink something that I absolutely fucking loathe. And it's
Why don't you ever please me then? Ding.
That's not on my list of things to do. Time for a quick game.
No, yeah. We haven't. No, I've just checked. We haven't.
Have you just checked? Okay, yeah. So we're at 7-5. I'm clawing the score back. So this is about a coaching slot where obviously I got something wrong, largely due to my ADHD. Yeah, I think it's a ding coaching slot. So I very nearly missed the session, but managed to make it. Was it because I checked the wrong calendar and therefore thought there wasn't a session? Was it because I checked the wrong day on the right calendar and therefore thought there wasn't a session? Or did I not check a calendar and just rely on memory?
Oh, that's an interesting one. That's a good one. I don't think you didn't check a calendar and rely on memory because you're always sort of dizzy when you get out your coffin and you've just woken up. So I think you always check. And you've just about got used to the Gregorian calendar, haven't you? So I don't think you checked the wrong calendar. So I think you checked the wrong day on the right calendar.
7-6.
Look at his smug face. You see him change. He's like,
it's just a moment. When you said it, when you said the first thing, I'm like, oh, relax. Honestly, I looked at my phone the night before. I was like, right, okay, coaching session at 8, that's fine. Woke up in the morning, a little bit drowsy and enjoying a lie. And I thought, that's right, I haven't got a coaching session till 10. I'll lie in for a bit. Just relied on my memory that I didn't have one at 8. And then when Sam said, you got a coaching session in half an hour, and I'm like, what? And looked at my phone and went, fuck. And then had to really scramble to get it, relying on my memory.
I know.
It's mad.
I do it all the time. And I always say to myself, did it yesterday, why are you like this? That's what I said. And then I have to say, you know why. You know
exactly.
Why.
Exactly. Oh, 7-6. I love it. We'll take a break. We'll be back in part 3 for some tipping.
Tipping?
Strong trumpet.
Welcome back to episode 155 of the ADHD Adults. We are talking, according to the script guy, about ADHD and stress, but we're not. We're doing nutrition. As always, in part 3, it's just the tip, top tipping, spunk trumpeting, James. What are your top tips for ADHD and nutrition? I'll start with James because I always do.
Yeah. Yeah. So focusing on the person with ADHD when it comes to nutrition, the first thing is obviously even getting adequate nutrition sometimes is difficult, as in eating enough, getting enough calories. There are those of us that have eating disorders such as binge eating disorder. I don't have any issue with getting enough calories, believe me. But that whole remembering to eat thing, first of all, can be an issue because your brain, your level of focus might not allow you to notice the normal hunger signals that you get from the brain. So in terms of trying to kind of engage with food at the times that you want to, you know, try and outsource that. So if reminders work for some people, not for everyone. If you've got a trusted person in the office or at home, then for them to, as I do with Sam, to come in and around 12 o'clock and say, do you want some lunch? Because otherwise she'll go straight through till God knows what time and not eat. In terms of the healthier food, we do tend to turn to unhealthier foods for snacks, people with ADHD. And many of us want to change this, particularly when for those of us that do snack in between meals. So try and have healthier options to hand. And that's the key. Have them to hand. If your fruit or almonds or other kind of healthy option for a snack is hidden away in a cupboard, you're not going to eat it. If you've almonds. Got it out somewhere, yeah, almonds are lovely. If you've got it out somewhere, shut up. If you've got it out somewhere in a bowl, where it's visible as you kind of are working, as opposed to as you walk past it, you may be more likely, if an impulse to eat kicks in, to tend to go to a healthier option. The final tip for people with ADHD is try, and I know we don't do this. I mean, why am I even saying this? To be kind to yourself. You know, if you've got sensory issues with food, that's not your fault. The shame that I have had for years for not eating fruit and vegetables and feeling, and you know, when you go to a restaurant and people say, oh, you're not eating the salad, like yeah. I'm some kind of semi-human, like I'm not, oh, look at you eating like a child. You just be eating, you're taking the salad off your burger. Yes, I am, because the texture makes me gag and I can't have it on there. And that guilt and shame, because I don't eat many fruit and vegetables unless they're fucking pureed or boiled until they're slop, it's still with me now when I go out and eat. I hate it. So try and be kind to yourself when it comes to those sensory issues, when it comes to eating beige food because you haven't got the executive function. You know, getting an air fryer for Mrs. ADHD and me, I don't know if that's grammatically correct, was a fucking game changer.
It is. It's absolutely grammatically correct.
Yes. I was going to say myself, but it didn't because I thought that would be wrong. It was a game changer because actually it just made a lot of that executive function stuff easier. Equally, if you want to, for example, have a curry, it's not bad to buy one of these new kind of packet curries where you have the base sauce and the spices and some coconut milk, for example. Yes, it's not the same as making it from scratch from ingredients, but it's a lot fucking easier when you've got ADHD. You're not going to get it right all the time. If you want to change your diet, just like everything else with ADHD, start small. Make little changes. Try and form habits based on cues for those habits, which you can turn into routines. Because if the aim is, right, you know what, I'm going to eat my five portions of fruit and veg a day, and believe me, nobody in the country, but not nobody, the average portions of fruit and vegetables eaten a day is around 3.7, and that hasn't changed in 20 years. Even after all those television adverts saying five fruit and veg a day, we still...
And that's a made-up number anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is, because it's 11 in Japan or Norway and 13 in another country. It's what was seen as being maybe achievable in the UK. If you slip, if you kind of fall back, if you have a period of eating unhealthy food, just accept that period might end. It's not you forever now. You can give it another go, but just think about achievable and realistic goals when it comes to eating healthier food if you want. To the rest of the world, what I'd say is don't fucking shame someone if they scrape a salad off their burger. Don't point out to somebody that sat next to you, oh, you're not going to eat salad, in a kind of slightly superior voice, because you don't know if that person is not eating salad for reasons outside of their control. Yeah. That's my tip for every fucker else.
Don't be a dick is the tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good one, actually. The number of times I've thought, why does it fucking matter to you what I'm eating? Why do you have to comment on how much you're eating or you're not eating? Why does it fucking matter? Why are you pointing it out to everybody? And then, and I actually hate that about going out for like group meals, because I know the minute I order, everybody's going to be like, are you vegan? Why are you vegan? Well, what if you're on a desert island? And fucking leave me alone. I don't give a shit what you eat. Stop. Fucking really pisses me off. I just don't understand.
It's hard to tell.
People are interested. Yeah, it really fucking pisses me off. Just stick to what you're eating. Worry about yourself and leave me alone.
That would have been the best top tip for the sexuality episode as well, quite frankly. Leave us alone.
I think for me, deciding what to eat and preparing it, especially because I love fruit, but preparing fruit is fucking difficult, and remembering to eat, they're the difficult things for me. And I am, as everybody that knows me will know, I am a fucking nightmare when I'm hungry or tired or cold or any of the things.
And awake.
People that I've lived with before can spot in me when I'm a little bit hungry and will rush and get me food, because they know that just everything is so much worse when I'm hungry. So what I've started doing now, and this is not like the healthiest thing to do, where I buy my protein shakes from, I've got this nutritionally balanced meal that's basically dehydrated like a pot noodle, and I carry it around with me all the time in like a little flask. So as long as I can get access to hot water, I've got a meal for when I'm like, I'm gonna die if I don't eat now. I've got meals with me all the time.
Sorry, James. Are you wondering whether to bring up the problem with the tech?
No.
What?
I'm. You know, I said before the podcast, because I thought I was going to be late, I need a big poo and to do my hair. I didn't have the big poo, and I'm now crowning. So I'm just wondering if I can leave you two to finish off the podcast episode while I go and birth this monster. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yes, of course. Yes.
Awesome. I'm going to meet
myself. That's amazing.
Meet myself. I'll see you all later, everybody.
Okay,
please,
bye.
Please don't take your mic with you accidentally. For love of God.
Yeah, so I carry this meal around with me, and I carry like little bars of smushed up fruit and stuff. I've always got loads of snacks with me, because the minute I start to go downhill, it's I'm not good.
Are you aware? Because I'm not. I only recently started to be aware of how badly I'm affected, and it's just every time it's the food. Oh, I was hungry again.
No, I'm aware. That's why I was just said that. Yeah.
Do you have to? You don't need someone to tell you. I know you're being mean, but you don't need someone to tell you.
I do sometimes, especially. So James comes up at meal times to tell me, and he makes the meal for me and brings it up to me, because otherwise I just won't. If it's not at my desk, I'm not going to eat it, because I've got to leave my desk to get it. And the same with drinks. So I have to fill up a couple of containers of drinks, and they have to be right in front of me. Otherwise I'll forget to drink, even though I'm really, really thirsty. But I think a lot of this is kind of, so I really struggle preparing food for myself and deciding what to eat, and the only time I can get myself to kind of prepare food for myself is imagining that it's for somebody else. So I'll batch prepare a load of fruit for future Sam, and I'm shit at cooking, so I just bung everything in the air fryer for 10 minutes no matter how long it takes, and it's either undercooked or overcooked, and I just eat it. It's fine. But I think a lot of this is so dependent on money, because you know, you can buy pre-prepared fruit and vegetables that you can just eat straight out of the packet, and you can buy meals that are kind of ready done that you can just heat up in a microwave. But if you haven't got the money for that, that's really difficult. And to get the executive function to make it for yourself is really difficult. But if you can get the executive function to make something for future you, then batch prepare stuff so that when you're having a bad day, you've got it already in the freezer or in the fridge or whatever. That's all the tips that I can give, really. What about
they're
you,
really
Alan?
Good. They're so similar to mine, Sam. So I prepare, if I want to actually cook, and I like cooking, I'll prepare food in the golden time. You know, I'll actually make tonight's meal at 11 in the morning, and I'll do the washing up, and then it's all ready. I don't need to worry about it, because I think I'm going to be a different person at 5, and then suddenly I can't do it, and I'm lying there.
Yeah.
And I can't even think. This is embarrassing. I don't know what I like. On my phone, I have a list of meals I often like, and one of them says pie. I need that written down, apparently.
Yeah.
I need the word pie written down, because I don't know. Do I like it? I don't know. No awareness whatsoever. Good enough is more important than good. That's the tip. If try and fail at this because it doesn't work for everybody, but if you're overeating, I gamify a food diary. I try and compete with it and have fun with that and not beat myself up too much about it. Routine, I hate it, but I need it. So I eat at 12. I have breakfast at 7. I eat at 12. I eat the same thing. And not because I want to, but because it's just fucking easier. Do you remember when I was at your house and Jack offered me an ice pop and said, do you want one? And I looked at my watch to see if I wanted one.
I did remember.
Don't know. Just have a look. And he laughed. What the fuck are you doing? I don't know if I want one because it depends what time it is. And so I've kind of routine. I don't know. Just don't know any of that stuff. From a nutritional perspective of looking at things that cause ADHD and really none of them nutritional, if you're struggling with that, my top tip for that is beware the confirmation bias. Ask yourself this. Do I want this intervention or this thing, whether it's sugar is evil, whatever it is, do I actually want it to be true? And if so, am I prepared to change my mind if the evidence says it isn't? Because if no, that's okay. It isn't easy. We all have belief systems. Every single one of us, it takes practice to start to trust the evidence, and the evidence changes, which is unsatisfying. We are all like that. But do start with the question, do I want this to be true? And if so, it's probably not going to be easy to change your mind. So be wary of what you're advising people. That's my top tip for that one. That's all. James, how was your poo?
Well, obviously, do not go in there. But what I'd say is, I know this is going to sound odd, it's going to sound counterintuitive. I'm amazed you two are still going. I mean, I'm not amazed because about two-thirds of the podcast is you two talking to each other. Bang I on. Actually think that when, not if, I quit this podcast, it'll have far fewer personal reflections, but I think it'll be longer because if it wasn't for me trying to keep you two to time, this would just go on forever. It's two people having a nice chat, which Sam loves just having a nice chat.
And I think, Although, to be fair, your maths of saying when I leave, it's just two thirds of the podcast is you two talking. That, I mean, mathematically, that adds up.
It does, yeah. It does, I suppose. I just wanted to add quickly because I had AirPods in so I could hear you talking while I was having a shit. Frozen veg, no difference really between fresh. If you can't afford fresh veg, and it's the same with frozen, because you still get most of these things are frozen at the point of freshness. They're flash frozen, so most of the phytochemicals and minerals and nutrients are still there. And if you're like me, and it's a sensory thing, and you like impulse spending, getting a NutriBullet or other blender so you can make a smoothie and sieve it and get those vitamins is a great way of trying to get past the textures.
Do you use it?
On and off, obviously. Some weeks, I'll run 3 weeks. I like black cherries with apples and pears and raspberries, and I have to sip out the raspberry shit. But it's a lovely, lovely drink. And that's only because as it stopped doing blood. Smoothie that I really liked. And yes, it does look like blood. Anyway, we've twattered on for long enough. That was episode 155 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we talked about ADHD and nutrition. If you enjoyed this episode, blah, 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 Patreon, blah, 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 www.theadhdadults.uk, blah, blah, blah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all. Trigger warning, clacks on, clacks on, big clacks on, clacks on, clacks on.